isn't young Widder Brown, kiddies. The Fred Allen Show, with Fred's guests, the eminent Shakespearean actor Maurice Evans, Portland Hopper, Minerva Pyers as Mrs. Nussbaum, Alan Reed as Falstaff Openshaw, the DeMarco sisters, and Al Goodman and his orchestra. And in case you want to use my charge account at the 5 and 10 cent store, my name is Kenny Delmar. Tonight we bring you the first man who couldn't stand Jack Benny because he is Fred Allen.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And Kenny, you forgot to mention also that I am involved in this unpopularity contest. I'm the judge, you know.
Yeah, I can't imagine Jack giving away all that money. I hear he's a little on the thrifty side.
Thrifty? Benny is tighter than the cuffs on a jitterbug's pants, Kenny. Can he squeeze money? When Benny lets go of a $5 bill, Lincoln's beard is nothing but a few ingrown hairs on one side and a 5 o'clock shadow on the other. Don't worry about it. Benny will make plenty of money on the contest.
Yeah, but how can he give away $10,000 and still make money?
Well, as the letters pour in, Benny has 10 relatives scraping the glue off the backs of the envelopes. He's going to remake some horses for Crosby. With the old glue, he's going to make fly paper. The flies he catches, he's going to sell to people who own goldfish or who have frogs in their throats. He has a dual market there. He'll clean up plenty, Kenny. I wouldn't worry about Mr. B. Well, Portland. He gave the show a whale of a lift, arriving as you did.
Letters and postcards just came for you.
Letters and postcards?
And they're addressed to Judge Allen, chair of the Jack Benny contest.
Well, I'm the judge, but letters should be sent to the Jack Benny contest in Hollywood. Hey, look, what does that top postcard say?
It just says, Jack Benny is a jerk, period.
Jack Benny is a jerk? Well, you can write up to 50 words. That's only 5 words.
Underneath it has 45 ditto marks.
Oh, 45 ditto marks. That does it. Well, what's that other letter you have there?
It's a poem about Jack Benny.
Well, a poem in the contest, too? How does it go?
It says, I can't stand Jack Benny because here in my poem I list his flaws. He's cheap, he's old, he has no hair. He has no teeth, his gums are bare. He has no blood in his blood cells. But he must have a nose, because he certainly smells.
Give that man 20 silver dollars. And a box of Snickers, if he likes.
Here's another one.
Let me see. What does this one say? I can't stand Jack Benny because I am his waiter at Lindy's. I'm translating this to me. The only time I ever saw him leave a tip was the day he couldn't finish his asparagus. But enough about the bald beagle of Beverly Hills, Portland. Everybody's going to have him on the pan with this contest. And Pan reminds me, I wonder what's cooking in Allen's Alley tonight.
Have you a question ready?
Yes, Portland. Well, this past week, the National Federation of Business and Professional Women's Clubs met to discuss the problem of post-war jobs for women. And so our question is, how do you think women will fit into the post-war business world?
Shall we go?
As one headache said to the other headache, let's take a powder. Ah, it's so quiet and restful here in Allen's Alley, Portland. But I can put a stop to that just by knocking on the senator's door.
Somebody, I say, somebody knock.
Yes, I am.
Claghorn's the name, Senator Claghorn.
I know that.
I'm from the South, way down south.
Every week.
Where I come from, when we say cotton, we don't mean no movie actor.
Now, wait a minute. Look.
But don't butt in, son. Well, stop blabbing.
I'm not trying to...
Keep interrupting. Try listening. Listening
well,
to me.
If I could only get a word.
Don't give me no Gettysburg address, son.
Now, look. Senator, slow down a minute, if you will, please. You've only 2 more years in office. What is your opinion? What is your opinion of women in the post-war business world?
It's got us worried, son. Senator Glass is all broken up.
Well, then you...
Glass is broken. That's a joke, son. That's witty.
Well, I know it's witty.
That's real Southern humor.
I sensed that it was real Southern humor. I'll go down there and enjoy it someday.
You ain't very quick, are you?
Oh, now, look. Senator, what do you, as man to man, or as man to what I am, what do you think... what do you think about women going into business?
I say let them go into business.
Fine.
Women can be politicians. Women can be bartenders.
Good.
Bartenders, that is.
Yes.
A woman... A woman can even be president.
Good.
But there's one thing a woman can never be, son.
A woman can never be?
The father of our country. Come on.
Hold on.
Come on.
Hold on, that is. Well, the senator has an answer for everything, even before you ask him. Say, I wonder if Titus Moody is in tonight.
Howdy, bub.
Well, Mr. Moody, how do you feel about women working?
Oh, some women overdo it, bub.
Overdo the working? You're speaking from experience?
Yep. For 20 years, my wife's been raising chickens.
And she's overdoing it?
She's in the hen house morning, noon, and night.
I see.
One morning, the rooster was sick.
Yes?
My wife got up and crowed so the hens would know the sun was coming up.
Well, that is overdoing it, isn't it?
Last week, my setting hen got a dizzy spell and fell off the nest.
Yes?
My wife sat on the nest day and night till this morning.
What happened?
Have a cigar, bub?
A cigar?
Yeah. I'm a papa.
A papa, eh?
Ten of the prettiest Plymouth Rocks I ever seen.
Well, Mr. Moody owes me 9 cigars. Well, I think I'll try this next door.
No.
Ah, Mrs. Nussbaum again.
You were expecting maybe Dinah Schnorrer.
Not necessarily. Tell me, Mrs. Ann, how do you feel about women working?
On account of working, I am losing mine appeal.
Your appeal, huh? How do you mean?
When I'm 19, I'm having beautiful legs.
You had beautiful limbs, huh?
They're calling me the Dietrich of the Lancestry.
Oh, really? Uh-huh.
Then I'm taking a job in an all-girl orchestra.
Not Spitalny.
Oh, no.
No?
Blossom Blomberg and her Brownsville Boogie Woogie Babies.
Good.
I am playing Sitting Down the cello.
Oh, the cello, huh?
For 5 years, every night, I am sitting with between my knees the cello.
For 5 years?
One night, I am looking on my beautiful legs in the mirror. Yikes!
You mean that...
From playing the cello, I am bow-legged.
Right.
It's looking like incessantly I am riding a horse.
And today with your bow legs...
Instead of the Dietrich of the Lancestry...
Yes?
They are calling me Hop-Along Nussbaum.
Well, here we are at the last batch in Allen Gallery. Let's see what a knock here will bring.
Welcome, sir, you jolly fellow. Falstaff's here, and the stuff is mellow.
Well, Falstaff Openshaw. Not more poems tonight.
Oh, indubitably. Have you heard the little herring had a wonderful dream? He was eating a man in sour cream.
No.
Or, I had to stop plucking chicory chicks when Nellie ran off with my mandolin pick.
No.
How about this? His mother got her discharge from the wax. She's back again driving her truck for cash.
Now, wait a minute. Now, from the Bowery Bard, we turn to the 5 DeMarco sisters, accompanied by Maestro Al Goodman and his refugees from Roseland. The kids sing Sweet I've Gotten on You.
from Philadelphia was traveling one day. A car broke down in a Quaker town in Pennsylvania. A stranger met a maiden, they fell in love at sight. At her front door she said, be sure when you come back tonight. Ba-dum, ba-bum-bum, and open a Papa Jump. Cross street over and park in his Rover, we have gotten on you. We're to keep watching wait, out in the lights and bait. There'll be love talking if on you keep walking, we have gotten on you. That's what you're here with, like it is in Kentucky, Pennsylvania, sweet and pure each word. Don't you know she got kids? That's for sure, that's far, and that's all. When someday you bet, come and pop a land. He got a mania for Dutch Pennsylvania, when she said, love are you? Soft as cotton, fresh as dew, sweet I've gotten on you. I mean he real is, sweet I've gotten on you, baby. But the fire is so delightful, and since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Oh, it doesn't show signs of stopping, and I brought some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. When we finally kiss goodnight, oh, I ain't going out in the storm. But if you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be wise. Fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbying. But as long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. When we finally kiss goodnight, how I'll hate going out in the storm. But if you really hold me tight,
all the way home I'll be wise.
Oh, the fire! The fire is dying, and my dear, we're still goodbying. But as long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. I don't care, let it snow, let it snow.
That was a musical clue played by Maestro Al Goodman and his piecework, Philharmonic. If you've guessed what the selection is, and your guess is that's for me, it is partly correct. Say, Portland.
Yes?
Did you get me that safety pin?
Well, I have a bobby pin. Won't that do?
No. What I need is a safety pin or a long coat.
You tore something?
I have a rip in the back of my trousers as big as a shark's mouth when the shark is yawning. With me, every little breeze doesn't whisper Louise.
How did you tear them?
Well, the whole thing started last night, Portland. You know, the biggest hit in the New York theater at the moment is Maurice Evans in his new streamlined version of Hamlet. It's sold out every night. Well, I always go to see Mr. Evans in his Shakespearean plays. So last Saturday night, I went over to the Columbus Circle Theater where Hamlet is playing.
Did you enjoy the show?
Well, it started off wonderful. A lady came in late, and to let her pass, I got up from my seat. I heard something rip, and then a woman behind me said... Lapping over my corduroy... I rushed up the aisle to the manager's office to complain. Well, after a long discussion, the manager said...
Look, Bud, you tore your pants. It's Mr. Evans' show. Now, if you got any complaints, see Mr. Evans when the show is over. Why don't you stand in back of the theater and watch the rest of the play?
Well, as soon as the play was over, I went backstage. I found the star's dressing room. I knocked on the door.
Come in. Fred Allen.
Maurice Evans. Well, Mr. Evans, I hate to bother you.
I didn't know you were out front tonight.
Well, I was out front. Now I'm out back.
Why, what happened?
Well, I bought a ticket. I tore my trousers. How about some money?
Money, money, money. You know what Shakespeare says about money? Neither a borrower nor a lender be. Who steals my purse steals trash. All the
now, wait a minute. Never mind Shakespeare. What about my pants?
I'll lend you one of my costumes to wear home.
Well, look, no, I'm not walking down Broadway in a pair of those tights. People will think Burlesque is back in New York. The little flower's back just turned and Burlesque is in town again. Now, look, Maurice, let's go 50-50. I'll forget the pants. Just give me the $2.20 I paid for my ticket.
$2.20, that's a lot of money.
Well, now look, Marie.
With $2.20, I could buy real poison for the murder scene. That prune juice we're using is brutal.
Now look,
with $2.20, I could buy real pastrami for the king's banquet scene in Macbeth. Chewing on that beaver board pheasant every night is murder.
Now, look, wait a minute. I missed the whole scene in the play, Marie. Hamlet and his father's ghost.
Tell you what I'll do, Fred.
Yes?
Instead of giving you back your $2.20,
yeah,
I'll run through that part that you missed. As the scene opens, his father's ghost enters with Hamlet. Whither wilt thou lead me? Speak. I'll go no further.
Mark me.
Speak, I am bound to hear.
So art thou to revenge when thou shalt hear.
What?
I am thy father's spirit. List, list, oh, list, if thou didst ever thy dear father love.
Oh, God!
Revenge his foul and most unnatural murder.
Murder!
Murder most foul, as in the best it is. But this most foul, strange and unnatural.
Haste me to know it, that I, with wings as swift as meditation or the thoughts of love, may sweep to my revenge.
I find the act. Now Hamlet here. He's given out that sleeping in my orchard, a serpent stung me. But know thou, noble youth, the serpent that did sting thy father's life now wears his crown.
Ah, my prophetic soul! My uncle!
If thou hast nature in thee, bear it not. Very well at once. The glowworm shows the matin to be near and begins to pale his ineffectual fire. Adieu! 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 Remember me!
All you hosts of heaven! O earth! What else then shall I couple hell? I hold my heart, and you my sinews grow not instant old, but bear me stiffly up. Remember me! I, thou poor ghost, while memory holds a seat in this distracted globe, remember me! Yes, from the table of my memory, I'll wipe away all trivial fond recalls, all swords of books, all forms, all precious past that youth and observation copied there. And thy commandment all alone shall live within the book and volume of my brain, unmixed with baser matter. Yes, I have. Oh, villain, smiling, damned villain, my tables. Beat it as I set it down, that one may smile and be a villain. At least I'm sure it may be so in Denmark. Now to my word. It is adieu. Remember me. I have sworn.
Well, that was wonderful, Maurice. I can see why critics hail you as the greatest Hamlet in the theater today.
Oh, thank you, Fred.
But I'd still rather have my $2.20 if it's all the same to you.
I'm sorry, Fred. I've got to start saving money. I only just got out of the army, you know.
Say, were you the Major Evans Jack Benny told me he met in the Pearl Harbor?
Yep. I was in charge of all GI entertainment in the Central Pacific area for nearly 3 years.
Did you produce any Shakespearean plays for the troops?
Yes, I streamlined Hamlet.
The GIs seem to like it. That's the version I'm doing now here in New York.
A streamlined Hamlet.
Yes, I've eliminated the gravedigger scene entirely.
The gravediggers are out? You don't say, alas, poor Yorick, I knew him, Horatio?
No.
You don't say
I'm
that?
Tired. No, Fred.
Why, that was the only way I could ever tell Hamlet from Macbeth. When the leading man took up the skull and said, alas, poor Yorick, I knew it was Hamlet.
There is another way to tell Macbeth from Hamlet, Fred.
How?
Before you go into the theater...
Yes?
Look at the sign outside.
Never thought of that unless it's a Betty Grable picture. Well, Maurice, now that you're out of the army, I guess you'll stay in the Shakespeare racket, huh?
Racket? Fred, how can you call the greatest tradition of the theater a racket?
Now, look, Maury. Don't give me that theater guild double talk.
I don't understand.
Now you've got a great gimmick there. The dough is rolling in. Shakespeare's dead. With you, it's all in one pocket.
Are you intimating that I put on Shakespeare's plays only because I don't have to pay him royalties?
Frankly, yes. If Shakespeare was alive today, he'd be a dead duck.
Why, Shakespeare's writing was immortal. He'd be as great a writer today as he was 300 years ago.
Why, he couldn't even write for radio, Maurice. Now, you be W. Shakespeare, and I'll show you what might happen if Shakespeare tried to get a job in radio today. The scene? A busy advertising agency.
Hello, Bat and Foot, Rootroff and Rubicam Advertising. Now, Mr. Van Ostrand's busy. He's conducting a laboratory test for McGee's meatballs. Well, he's got 10 hungry men in the lab. In front of each hungry man, he's putting a McGee meatball and the Book of the Month. The test is to see if the hungry man reaches for the meatball or the Book of the Month. Yeah, I'll be interested to see how the test comes out. I'll let you know. Okay. Hey, you. You waiting to see somebody?
Yes, Mr. Allen.
What's your name?
William Shakespeare.
Address?
Stratford-on-the-Bronx.
Are you here to audition for the Rooster Crow on information, please?
No. No, I'm a writer. I'm a friend of Mary Margaret McBride.
That's good enough for me. Go right in.
Thank you.
Ah, come right in. I am a busy man. You know how it is in the advertising game. Slogans, conferences, memos, billboards, Benzedrine. Have a chair.
Thank you.
I was just about to have a conference. I won't be a minute. Excuse me.
You want F.A.?
Yes, the conference, man. Ready?
You bet, F.A.
Let's go. Okay. Okay, you sold me, man. I'll carry the ball. Conference is over.
Okay, F.A.
Okay, man. Nothing like a conference to keep an executive in touch with his organization. Now, what was on your mind, Mr. I didn't get your name.
Shakespeare. William Shakespeare.
Shakespeare.
I'm a writer. A friend of Mary Margaret McBride.
Oh, that goes a long way in this office. Do you write gags or soap opera?
I write plays.
Well, I'll tell you, Shakespeare, I do need a serial program. It's for a new product, a soap powder called Dozen. Dozen is a new idea in soap powders. All the other soap powders do things. Dozen doesn't do a thing. You just put it in the water. Later on, you find lumps in your union suit. It's Dozen. Now, I need a good radio show to put this soap powder over.
But I have a play called Hamlet.
Hamlet? Sounds like a Stan derivative. What is the play about?
The first scene is in the King's Castle in Denmark.
No. Denmark is out. For a radio serial, it has to be a small town in the Middle West. Let's say Centerville. All right. Hamlet starts in Centerville.
What about the castle?
Castle's out. The family is living in a Quonset hut. Now, who is in the family?
Claudius, Hamlet, Polonius, Horatio, Gertrude, and Ophelia.
Well, Ophelia isn't bad, but those other names are out, Shakespeare. Claudius we'll call Papa Maya. Hamlet will be Sam. Polonius will be Lorenzo Fink. I'll fix up those other names later.
There's also a ghost in the story.
A ghost? Great. The ghost can do the commercials. I wash my sheet in dozens. Pick up the ball, Shakespeare. What happens in the story?
Well, Hamlet's father is killed by his uncle, who marries Hamlet's mother.
That's a dangerous cross-reference. That murder is out. Serial programs cannot have murder. Nobody has ever murdered on the radio in the morning. The murders start when the sun goes down and Mr. D.A. and those other mystery programs come on at night. Then it's murder in all sense of the word. What is next?
Well, Hamlet suspects his uncle. Ophelia goes insane. Polonius is killed. The king is poisoned. Hamlet fights a duel with poisoned swords. Finally, everybody is killed or poisoned.
Well, I'll tell you, Shakespeare. Let's not beat about the bush.
Is something wrong, sir?
The Hamlet story is too gruesome for radio. Now, here's what you do.
Yes, sir?
Throw this whole thing out. Get a new story. Know what I mean?
Yes, sir. The town is Centerville.
Good.
Papa Mayer runs the local grocery store.
Great.
Ophelia is in love with Sam.
Fine.
Lorenzo Fink tries to make trouble. There's trouble every day.
Plenty of trouble. Great. Plenty of trouble. Great, Shakespeare. Now, all we need is a new title.
Yes, sir. Instead of Hamlet, I'll call my serial Ophelia Faces Life.
You've got yourself a deal, Shakespeare. What do you say?
Radio is much ado about nothing. Farewell. Parting is such sweet sorrow.
Shakespeare, put down that gun. Shakespeare. Bill, say something.
To be or not to be, that is the question.
Dad, what an idea. To be or not to be, the serial is out. I'll make the whole thing a quiz program. To be or not to be, that's it.
This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.